Hi, everyone, and welcome to Rewatchable number 257. Today, we're going to be talking about Angel Season 5, Episode 1, Conviction, and Episode 2, Just Rewards. It's all Angel, all the time. My name is Karen, and I'm a superfan. I'm joined by fellow superfan Mai and newbies Mitch and Ariana. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
As usual, if you would like to get into contact with us, you can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. Find us on Twitter at re_watchable. This post on hypable.com or visit rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. So as usual, we're going to kick off with some fun facts. And Mai, I guess you're going first.
And it's actually fun this time.
Yay!
I have made some plans to go to my first real hockey experience.
Oh.
Wow.
And that's exciting. Really exciting because Danya is coming too.
Is she really?
Yes.
Oh my, I'm so jealous. Oh, now I'm just upset. That was not a fun fact for me.
Do you want to come too?
I do.
Do you like hockey, Karen?
No, I just like Mai. And Danya, I guess.
I guess.
If I have to.
Hockey, that's really cool. Danya.
Everyone I know on Twitter is so obsessed with hockey.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, because Danya so and Mai are the loud minority, I think.
Yeah. I'm just very excited. In general.
Yeah, I find it very violent and it upsets me, so I don't really enjoy hockey.
I don't really understand, like, the sports in general. Like, I don't understand the appeal. So it's really bizarre to me that, like, all of my friends are really into sports. I'm like, you guys are supposed to be nerds like me, guys.
I love the, like, women being into sports movement thing that's going on right now, though. Like, I think that's really cool. Like, Kristen's really into football. She's taught me a lot about football. And I just love that because, obviously, like, women aren't supposed to know anything about sports or be into things like football and hockey. So I think that's pretty cool. But, yeah, I'd rather watch, like, a TV show than a sports event. But to each their own.
Unless they kiss at the end, I don't care.
True. I mean, they could. You never know.
You know, sometimes it really seems like they're gonna.
And then in the case of hockey, they just punch each other in the face.
So it's like Spangel. Like, you're just sitting there waiting for it. And that's why it's so exciting.
Maybe. Yeah. All right, Mitch, what's your fun fact?
My fun fact is last night I was digging through an old box of stuff that I've kept from my childhood. And one of those things in that box of stuff was a SpongeBob SquarePants Game Boy Advance video. And I found it magical because on your Game Boy Advance, you could watch 4 episodes of SpongeBob SquarePants. And it was in like 240p, which I find a magical quality for some reason, especially when that's the native quality of something. Mm-hmm. It made me very happy.
Wow.
Yeah, I was watching the Bubble Stand episode. But then the Game Boy didn't charge enough because it's been dead for so long that the battery life is drained. So I like got to watch half of it, and then it just quit.
That's sad.
Didn't even get to see. Is that where Bubble Buddy comes out? I'm not sure. I don't remember. We need Brittany here.
Yeah, Brittany would know. Wow, that's pretty cool, though. I feel like that is very on brand for you. So thank you for sharing. Yeah.
Retro and 240p. Those things. Keywords.
All right, Ariana, did you come up with a fun fact?
No. Honestly, the only thing I've come up with is not a fun fact. It's a sad fact, and it's not even about me.
Oh, share it anyway. Now I'm curious.
Okay, well, did you guys know that the last northern white rhino died? The male one.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I was just reading an email from the Tusk Trust Conservatory that... It's really sad. There's only his daughter and granddaughter left.
Oh, man.
But well, will I find a way?
That's such a bummer. Like this is such a way to start it off. But yeah, I really like receiving the emails, though, from the preserve it's on or they're on. It's so interesting to see. Someday I'd like to go and like go on a safari. Not the mean kind where they kill people, just like
where they kill people?
People?
What kind of safari are you looking into?
I feel like that's a dystopian novel waiting to happen.
Okay.
You have to go to the San Diego Wildlife Conservatory then.
Do they kill people there?
Yes. Yeah. I got to feed a giraffe. I have pictures of me feeding a giraffe.
I was like I feel like 20 years ago I went with my family. I really don't remember anything about it except for that we were like in a, we saw, I feel like the animals were far away, obviously, because it's like more natural than coming up to them. But I wanted to go a few years ago, but I was like, oh, this is very expensive now.
It is. Yeah, I was lucky enough to have a friend working there, and he was doing the tour. And I was like, oh, my God, of course I'll do this. I'll feed a giraffe. I'm all about, like, that adventure life.
Yeah, I've done that once.
Oh, yeah, you can feed the giraffes at, like, the Santa Barbara Zoo. Another not-so-fun fact is the Santa Barbara Zoo is, like, famous for having this giraffe that had a weird neck, like that. It looked like it was broken, but it wasn't.
Oh,
do you remember? Yeah. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah.
It died.
Oh.
Sorry.
Wow.
Careful.
They keep telling us that all the animals are dying.
No, but it lived a nice long life. Like, it was very old.
Well, that's
a nice crooked life.
Constantly spying on other giraffes.
Yeah. What you doing?
I can imagine, like, oh, hey.
That's funny.
Was it named Whiplash?
I don't know.
Oh, missed opportunity, if not.
I'm the worst.
Well, my fun fact, it's not like not fun, but I just wanted to say that I volunteered, much to Kristen's delight, to edit last week's rewatchable because I couldn't be on. I was supposed to be on, and I was actually in Chicago with Danielle. So, yay, Danielle Wine Pizza. Got to see her. And I couldn't be on the episode to discuss the Buffy finale, but I edited it because I wanted to know what everybody thought. And I was quite delighted by the response to the finale. And every time Brittany was like, guys, it's over. Guys, we're done. Like we did it. I started getting really emotional. And I'm pretty sure there were a couple of tears. So
I don't see how she can feel like it's over, though, because I don't have that feeling at all, because we're still an angel.
Yeah, but like, no more Buffy.
I just feel like Toys R Us is over, and that's it.
That is also fair, because that is actually over.
I don't know. Like, their stories aren't even over, though. Like, Spike has crossed over.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure we'll hear about more.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he wants to talk to Buffy, and the first thing he says when he...
We're not there yet, Mitch. We're not there yet.
Well, I'll say that, yeah, I agree. It feels like if they're already showing a scene for the finale of Buffy, we're not done. It's not even a finale. That's just like, and we wanted to do more, so we decided to do it in Angel.
Well, it is almost April 2018, and we should finish this by the end of May, very, very early June. So
that'll be weird.
We're close. We're really not that far away.
What's next?
Yeah, who knows?
Stop asking me that. I don't know. Okay, let's actually do this now. We're going to kick it off with Angel episode 501, Conviction. In this episode, Angel has a new mission and a new haircut, and neither one looks too cute on him. After inheriting Wolfram and Hart's L.A. branch, the Pancakes are put in charge of managing several branches of evil, including a bad guy who is ready to blow up his son. In the end, Gunn shows up to the courtroom and, using the strength of the Black Panther, saves the day sans violence. Yes.
Black Panther.
It's such a good movie.
I saw it again recently. And
highest grossing Marvel movie of all time.
Not
as it deserves.
Yes. Yes, it does. Okay, so first things first, new intro credits, no Cordelia. Ariana, clearly you have some feelings on this.
Yeah, I mean, do you want to talk about Cordelia now or later?
We can talk about her now.
Anytime.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I guess I should just get it out there. I really hated both of these episodes. I'm not into this season at all.
Is it because of Cordelia?
Or is it because Joss Whedon is back at the wheel?
You know, maybe that's it. I think I ended up chalking it up to Cordelia because I couldn't figure out what else was wrong. And, like, what I realized is I really, like, I knew I would miss Cordelia, but I think it bothers me the ways in which they're trying to so obviously, like, fill in for her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, with the addition of Harmony and the addition of Spike. And I feel like they're both kind of very clear. Like, I feel like Harmony is supposed to be the fill-in for, like, her comedic relief. And Spike is supposed to be, like, the fill-in for, like, an emotional attachment that confuses Angel or, like, is you know, someone with history. Mm-hmm. And so
from
I feel like...
For the Buffy show, yeah.
They're supposed... And he kind of also provides the comedic relief. But what I realized, like, in more thinking about it, like, when Cordelia was gone in the first few episodes of season 4, like, I still really enjoyed the show. I still felt like it was the show. And I don't feel like it's the show right now. I think what it's missing is the heart. Like, I just felt like it felt so empty. Like, I didn't care about anything in these episodes. I don't even care about the people anymore. Like, they act like they're not... They act like they don't like each other. They don't act like a family. They're just, like, not a team. And I don't care about anything they're doing. And I don't even care about Angel. And it also makes me angry that nobody, like, talks about her. Doesn't make sense in world. And I understand that they're not talking about her because they're trying to sweep under the rug that they fired Charisma. But... like in the world, that's all they should be talking about. Like, that would be what they would be putting all of their resources in. Like, when Angel jumped into a portal to go to a hell dimension to save her in season 2, and when season 4 she was gone, and that's like all they did was try and get her back. Like, now they know where she is, she's in a coma. All of Fred's resources should be in trying to wake her up from this coma.
Yeah, I think it's totally fair what you're saying. For me, the big change is that they work at Wolfram and Hart now, and I feel like that has a very different vibe from Angel Investigations and the hotel. And I think that's, I mean, season 5 is kind of a big deal for me for a couple of different reasons. So I haven't watched it in actually quite a long time, so I don't want to say I enjoy it, but it's very memorable for me. So it'll be interesting to kind of go back through and experience it all again on this higher level, like we've been talking about. But Wolfram and Hart offers a very different platform from the hotel, and I think that in addition to the fact that Cordelia is gone and Harmony is back and Spike is here, the institution and what they're doing now, because they have all these resources at their fingertips, is very different. Because AI has always been about they don't have any money and they have to pull themselves up by their bootstraps and they have to be resourceful because they don't have any resources, and now that they do, it just changes the whole tone of the show. And I guess I will say, like, obviously keep watching, because if they don't feel like a family now, that could potentially change. That could potentially be the point of the season, or you might find that they never get back to that and you hate season 5, which is also completely fair and valid.
And I wanted to add to Adriana's point that I was watching review interviews with cast and creators of Buffy for the entirety of that show after we finished watching it. And when they brought on Spike, they were often talking about how they were looking for him to be a replacement for Charisma Carpenter then on Buffy. So I can see the theme, and it's not working, because they even say in that interview, but yeah, it wasn't working. It wasn't the same tone. So then why are they trying it again? It's not working. They just... I mean, I still have to actually go back and listen to why she was fired. I, now that I know that she's fired, have lost all hope for this season. Knowing that she's not going to come back makes me so depressed. because it's like the one thing we clung on to out of like Buffy and Angel. Like we all kind of like loved the fact that her portrayal of Cordelia was so amazing and wonderful, and there was a beautiful arc, and now that it's gone, it's like it's so much harder to care about everything that's going on. I'm with you, Adriana.
And I also want to point out that, however brief, they do mention Cordelia, and unfortunately, I really loved the first part of Harmony's reaction to the fact that Cordelia was in a coma, and I think they completely ruined it by her being like, okay, let's move on from this, but I guess that is in character for Harmony, but I wish they had kind of made it a big deal.
That's probably how Joss reacted, yeah, honestly.
I mean, I have no issues with Harmony. She is my favorite part of these episodes because she felt like the only thing that was like, almost like the only person in character to me. Mm-hmm. And I feel like she fits in well for this world, but I don't feel like Spike fits in with this show, which is weird since you would think that Angel and Spike would do really well together. And I just don't feel like it, but whatever. I mean, I'm just complaining now. Let's go through these.
You know, a good thing is here is that Connor's gone. So it's like we traded him for her.
Okay, I don't know but if Connor's that. Gone, then why is Wesley still like this emo dude? Like,
yeah, that's true. Cause it never happened. Well, it's like, I don't know. When Faith came in, it can't change everyone's personalities.
He didn't get kicked out. He didn't like get his throat slashed open. He didn't keep a woman hidden in his closet. He didn't have his affair with Lila. Like,
or not, or Faith Dawn. Did, or it, or was so, for some other dumb reason.
That's where I'm seeing it, Adriana, that it's kind of like how everything that happened before Dawn was introduced still happened somehow, even if you think that she would have affected it the other way. Although this is weird because we're taking it out. So I see exactly your point. It's very strange.
I think it's also of note to say that this was written and directed by Joss Whedon. So for those of you who don't particularly like Joss's touch, i.e. the ones who have not really been enjoying Buffy, perhaps that is another reason why.
Oh, great. I'm so excited for this season.
Yeah, because Buffy's done, Firefly ended. This is the season that Joss can devote his full attention exclusively to Angel.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that why we only have one girl in the credits now?
Potentially.
And why Fred got a makeover all of a sudden? And
yeah, like, why not just bring Harmony?
She looks really pretty, but I liked her when she looked dorky. And
I agree with you. I think she looks good, but I miss her roots there.
I mean, I guess I miss everyone. Everybody got a makeover.
But why?
Angel's hair, though.
Oh, Angel's hair is awful.
So bad.
It is so bad. Do you think it would have been appropriate to bring Harmony into the main credits?
Yeah.
I was thinking about it, and I think I would have been happy with it. I've always loved Harmony, actually. If I didn't have Rad She's Amy funny. For all that time, she would have been it. But then she came in right after I lost the idea of Rad Amy. So you win, Harmony. You beat me there.
She's also the perfect representation. I really feel like she was the only thing they did right in these episodes.
Yeah.
But I feel like she's the perfect representation of what they're supposed to be now, which is like she's like a evil deep down because she's a vampire, so she eats people. But she like wants to be helpful. And so I feel like that's really representative of the position they're in now at Wolfram and Hart.
And it's been pretty consistent writing for her from Buffy over to Angel, unlike Angel, who's changed so much from both shows.
Mm. Well, hopefully we will get back to what you guys love about the show and about Angel, the character in particular. Clearly, these two episodes did not sit very well, but hopefully moving forward, that will change. Since we're talking about Harmony, I do want to just mention this quote that you put in here from the Wikipedia. And it says, Harmony was added to the show. And I guess Joss Whedon said, she has been tirelessly funny and engaging and sexy and delightful. It was very nice to bring her into the fold. She was long overdue to get into the mix, and we needed a blonde, let's face it.
And then
I'm holding a lot back here.
That's lovely, Joss.
He's so amazing. Yes, we love you so much. Please write more of our shows.
Mm-hmm. Maya, I liked your comment to this.
Let me go get my eyes. They got lost and I rolled them too hard.
Yes.
So focused on image and like sexiness of everything and blondes.
Well, and it's really unfortunate.
That's kind of how I feel about this episode is like it's all like surface sexiness and like I said, no heart.
And a comment like this is really unfortunate because that is actually the basis of the show Buffy. But in the positive way, you see this small girl who's blonde and you think she's going to be the victim when in reality she's the hero. And now he's flipping that and he's like, we need a blonde because like, oh, well, of course we do. And that's really frustrating coming from somebody who created Buffy.
Yeah, like, why take away your progress there? Like, you earned something there. We gave it to you because, yeah, like, it's legitimate that it's playing on the trope of, like, the blonde being the victim or whatever it is. I don't know. Nothing I would subscribe to personally, but something apparently Joss does because he thinks he's a hero. We're trying to break it, but then he does it again, so it doesn't even matter.
Guys, I think I like Angry Mitch a lot.
Me too.
Yeah, well, we're really not getting started today. So.
Mitch, were you on the episode where I told everyone that, or like Charisma, she said, that when she was pregnant, that they told her that she was getting too fat while she was pregnant?
So, yeah, wasn't there like a recent like a set report kind of thing? Like someone tried to go out on me like a writer? And they were pregnant at the time, and Joss, the first thing he said to her was, God, are you fat? Like, what universe does he live in? I don't even get it. It's not even like, oh, God, I can't with this man.
Okay, let's try to move on. I'm sure this will pop up a few more times, because it is very frustrating.
Can we talk about the cold open?
Yes, oh, yeah, we can. That's what I was trying to get
about
to.
I can't even watch it. It makes me too angry.
Because, well, first of all, I genuinely thought for a moment that the blonde was Harmony.
Yeah, me too. Especially since the Hulu preview image showed Harmony. And I was like, but wait, this isn't Harmony. Did I mess up? But like, it wasn't Harmony in the preview image. It was just this woman. I'm not sure.
The cold open was meant to parallel the opening scene of the premiere, which I kind of liked because it felt like Angel getting back to what he did, you know, rescuing people down dark alleys and that kind of thing, until you get to the end, obviously, and then you just see all these people coming in and he has all this paperwork to do, and it just, I felt bad for Angel, but also, like, if he's the head of this company, like, come on. They shouldn't be doing this to you. You should be directing them with what you want them to do.
Can you believe they tracked him?
Boy.
My brain is still in, like, furious mode, so I mean, that's going to come out of my mouth. It's not going to be nice about anything, so I'm just going to keep my mouth shut for now.
I need you to initial here concerning your immortal soul.
God. Oh, and my, there's apparently a little cameo. I don't know if you can really call it a cameo here, but you want to talk about that since I don't know anything about Bones, really?
Yeah, the guy who offers to get the Angel coffee is played by TJ Thine, I think his name is. And he's on Bones with David.
Aww, that's cute.
Yeah.
I like that kind of stuff. Okay, one of the things that, I mean, I didn't love it because some of the interactions were a little frustrating, but I did want to say the introduction of the new Wolfram and Hart, and when we see all the different players right after this cold open, was a single shot take, which, if you guys know anything about me, I love. Daredevil did it very well. There's a whole bunch of Atomic Blonde did like a 10-minute fight scene like that.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I love it so much.
Speaking to my heart, Karen.
I know, right? So this was a single shot take, and it's nearly 4 minutes long, which is super incredible because there's a lot of dialogue, a lot of movement. It took them 27 tries to get it right because people kept messing up, but apparently Joss really wanted to do this. And I do like it. I think it turns out well. We see various parts of Wolfram and Hart, people walking from office to office, them kind of settling in still, introduction of like Knox, and we get a whole bunch of, not introduction, but you know, like a little more back and forth between different characters and everything. And I just wanted to know what you guys thought of that. If you realized it was a single shot, because I didn't, I was not paying attention apparently.
I didn't at all. And I feel like that's not worth it, because I'm sure that had to have taken them a whole day to shoot.
Or longer. I mean, 27, like that's a lot.
Just multiply that. If it's 4 minutes times 27, what is that? Who's good at math?
Oh, God. I can pull it up on my calculator because I'm not about to try.
Like, to get, like, a 30-second shot.
108 minutes.
2 hours. Yeah.
And all those extras in the background and stuff.
That's dumb.
That's such a waste of time.
To be honest.
I bet so many people hated him that day.
That day. I think I didn't notice because the entirety of the show of Gilmore Girls is filmed like this. Mm. They have like at least one of these shots, if not like 10 per episode. So you become very numb to the fact that it's so cool when you see it all the time.
Yeah. Also, less fun fact. Apparently, Alexis Denisov had Bell's palsy, had a little case of Bell's palsy, and the left side of his face, like if you guys know anything about that, basically goes slack. So they actually had to shoot him from the right or like three quarter shots the entire episode. I knew somebody once who had Bell's palsy. It's very disconcerting because like half their face is completely fine and the other half just kind of sags a little bit. So yeah.
So is that how they're going to film for the rest of the season? Do we have to like look for it to see if they're still doing it?
It does go away. Like it does go back to normal. But
the case.
Yeah. I don't know how long his lasted, but I don't know.
That's wild. I would have assumed it stayed forever, but I wouldn't know.
Mm-hmm. When you see the left side of his face, then you'll know it's gone.
Yeah, that is true. Well, I'm sorry, Alexis. That sounds horrible. I'm sorry you had to suffer that. Mm-hmm. If you're listening, you know, we wish the best for you.
And thank you for listening. Okay, let's get into kind of the meat of this episode and the fact that, yes, they are definitely working at Wolfram and Hart, whether we like it or not. Lauren is checking out every single employee to make sure that they're not evil. I mean, not that like people haven't gotten around that before, but whatever. We also
for the entirety of last season when with them, she was.
But he's trying, and that's.
I mean, Jasmine was technically a, I don't know, what do you want to call it, a higher being.
I guess that's true, but it's not like Wolfram and Hart like wouldn't have things to get around that.
Mm-hmm.
Not the minor sock puppets.
I mean, they did fire a whole bunch of people, so at least
they're weeding them out.
Yeah, it's helping. And then we get the introduction of Eve. And Ariana, I have a feeling, just a little feeling, you do not like her.
No, I hate her. I hate her. If they wanted to bring this bitch on, they should have just gotten like Lila OG, not this like ghetto-ass version of Lila.
She's like Diet Lila, isn't she? I'm just realizing now.
Really,
they're just like trying to recreate the character for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, I miss Lila. I think she was great. And she had history with all of them. So the fact that she would have been like a liaison, I think would have complicated things.
It would have at least made things interesting because like you said, they all have history. Mm-hmm. Also, we know she's dead. So that's kind of awkward. And, like, we know Angel hates her. We know Wesley's kind of in love with her. So.
And I would have loved to have just seen all the different scarves she would have tied around her neck.
Yes.
All season. I thought it would have been a fun shtick, yeah, to have her always dead. Yes. Like, I'm only here for this little thing again, like, and then it just becomes a thing. Like, she finds another excuse to show up again because they couldn't get rid of her because she's too fabulously evil. Mm-hmm. Horribly evil, by the way.
So I don't know who this new bitch is, but she thinks she's scary and she's not. She's just annoying.
I did like the one thing where Wes is like, young woman, and she responds, why do you think I'm either of those?
Yeah.
Yeah.
that, expect her to be like a goat demon in the end, to be like, surprise.
A bit of the Melisandre in the bath kind of vibe.
Mm, okay.
Yeah, is she gonna like unzip or something? Like,
I think Eve, like, aside from the Lila comparisons, which, like, she doesn't, but Eve is right now very mysterious. We don't know anything about her. She is supremely confident, especially around Angel and all the rest of them. She is not afraid of him. And I think that in and of itself is very interesting, because you got to kind of wonder why. Okay, is she really powerful? Does she feel like she's protected by the senior partners? Is she, you know, is she already dead so she can't be killed again? That sort of thing. The fact that her name is Eve is really interesting. You always got to look for stuff like that. And I don't know. I mean, I don't like her, but she's definitely something that we're going to have to kind of keep our eye on.
Okay, but here's my issue with her, is that maybe they just got the wrong actress for this role, but I don't believe her. Like, I don't even believe that she's not scared of Angel. I feel like she's quaking in her boots. Like, she's definitely working for someone who's got their handle on her. She reminds me of Lila, like, original Lila, when we hated her, and she was just annoying and playing, like, PC golf. Like,
I've always loved Lila.
She's not scary to me, and that's really annoying, because I feel like they could have gotten someone scary, but whatever.
Yeah,
Lila had like that venomous bite.
Okay, you know who would have been perfect, although they already used her, is Summer Glau, who was now unemployed because Firefly was over. I feel like she would have been really good and kind of creepy. But whatever.
I think you need somebody with presence, and that's something that Lila has. Like, she just walks into a room and commands it, and this girl, like, she doesn't do that.
Like, we just saw Lila chop someone's head off because she wanted to be boss. Like, this woman doesn't give me that same appeal. And yes, I say appeal because that was very exciting to me when Lila did that. I thought that was great. All for Lila.
And Eve is a bit of a puppet. You know, she works for the senior partners, and I think that makes her less scary, because if they had gone toe-to-toe with the senior partners, that would be something to worry about. But because she's just the messenger, I guess it feels less threatening.
Yeah, because Lila worked for herself. Like, she was the only survivor of the Wolf from One Heart Massacre for a reason, because she was just like, all right, peace out, everyone. Go be zombies. See if I care.
Yeah. But Eve is not the only person we have to keep our eye on, or the only person that we need to worry about, because we have this special ops team. And surprise, surprise, they betray Angel. And despite the fact that he's the one in charge now, they're trying to show him how they handle things, except they attempt to do that by killing a child. And I don't know how they ever thought this was gonna fly with Angel.
This was a rough episode to watch, with it being so close to, like, I mean, every single day it feels like there's another mass shooting in an elementary school. I feel like this episode would never air ever in current society. Because it's just, I don't know, it says it's a different element. So maybe it wasn't as distasteful then, but it still feels like it had to have been pretty extreme.
Yeah, it definitely hits close to home. Mai, what did you think about the whole special ops team trying to prove their worth to Angel?
I thought it was dumb.
Yeah. I just don't understand how they thought that was going to fly.
Yeah, I know your audience.
I like that he just takes the ball down.
Angel.
Yeah, exactly.
Angel, he just shoots that one guy in the head. Like, Angel is not taking any mercy. He doesn't care that he's killing people. He's not these kind of slayer rules. He's just like, all right, evil person, shotgun to the head, done.
Yeah, that was a little shocking.
Oh, that, I was going to say, was a little nice.
It was nice.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, Angel has definitely done that in the past. Like, remember when he threw, like, that axe at Calpin's head? Because
yeah.
Yes, the big brain guy, yeah. Yeah, he's killed humans. He threw that one guy out a window. He was a vampire, but he does it.
And I mean, evil is evil. If you're willing to take out a classroom full of kids, actually.
Yeah.
So I guess we don't have to feel too bad. Ma, you have another cameo, though.
I do. That sleazebag Corbin Fries was played by Rod Roland, who we know as Liam Fitzpatrick from Veronica Mars.
He was the guy that was tasing Veronica on the pool. I don't know what to call it, pool table, I think, right?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, you guys have a great memory.
It just came back. I didn't try.
Really?
No, it just out of nowhere. Because Fitzpatrick is where it got me.
It's either him or the brother.
Because I remember that being the gang in season 2.
Yeah, and then Logan shows up and is like, you gotta go, Veronica. Let's leave.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I had to Google it, but I'm starting to remember now. Okay. Yeah, he's good at playing sleazebags.
I wonder if he had a scene with Charisma.
Hmm.
Oh, I just put it together that she was on Veronica Mars again for the 10th time.
Didn't they? Those characters have an affair or something, or was that the other Fitzpatrick?
I don't know.
I wouldn't know that much.
I can't remember.
I believe you if she did. But
I barely remember that Charisma was in there.
Mm.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
She was a total different entity on that show. It was so strange seeing her first. I wish I saw her on, I think I'd be more heartbroken if I saw her Rachel first.
I don't know if I'd want to watch her on Veronica Mars. I like her the way she is.
Yeah.
She's so good, though.
Because the role there is so sexualized and not, fleshed out as well as Cordelia ever has been. Yeah.
Speaking of whether characters are fleshed out or not, guys, I have a major issue. And
Thank
that major
you.
Issue revolves around Charles Gunn. So,
go at it, Karen. Go.
All right.
Mm-hmm, take this.
Listen. We are all pretty much in agreement that Gunn is a fantastic character who has been hugely underutilized. He is, of course, the security guy and the go-to, fighter and stuff, which is great. But as we've discussed plenty of times, he is also incredibly smart. Not just street smart, but, he puts things together. He solved major problems in the past.
He's the common sense guy.
Yeah, and I don't know why nobody recognizes this, either on the show or the show itself. But now they've decided to fix Charles Gunn. And I just want to read this quote from Wikipedia, and it's once again from Joss Whedon, who says, "We didn't often know what to do with Jay's character. He had a real sense of feeling out of place, so I wanted to show something from Jay that people hadn't seen. Plus, he looks really good in a suit." Look, Joss Whedon. They basically made Gunn traditionally smart now. He's the lawyer now. He's got all this information inside his head. And on the one hand, I'm like, okay, cool. Maybe this will be a way for him to be in the spotlight a little bit more. It's nice. I'd love the courtroom scene. I really do. The way he walks in, his confidence and all of that. It's really great. But they didn't need to do this. They didn't need to supernaturally enhance him to make him relevant or a good part of the team. He was already fine the way that he was.
What bothers me the most out of this is less that he's got this super brain now and more that this is how Joss Whedon has always seen him, because I feel like that's been evident from the show, and that I feel like we as fans have seen I feel like we get him so much more than the show does.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I do feel he's talking here about how he was out of place. I feel like he fit in perfectly with the team. And when they're like, oh, we didn't know what to do with him. And it's it sounds like it, Joss Whedon. You don't know how to write women and you don't know how to write black men. That makes sense. So this is just so frustrating.
And even if he did feel out of place, I feel like that's also one of the strengths of his character. Yeah. It made him a little more interesting because he always felt out of place amongst these people. Like from day one, him working with Angel from the beginning was not easy. And he always felt like that person a little bit on the outside, but that's also one of his strengths.
It was an internal conflict. Like he hated that he was working for a vampire, but he felt like he had, like, it was great internal conflict.
You know, I wonder.
It's also a good allegory for, like, we talked about this already, but like race relations in general. But it's whatever, Joss Whedon. Go away.
I wonder if any, like, positive progress we've seen in characters or any good attributes we've seen, like, with Gunn in the past have all come from when Jane Espenson has been writing episodes. Because I found whenever she's writing anything on Buffy or Angel that she does a really good job and it makes me really believe the characters. They seem like they're doing good things. Like she was probably writing that pancake kiss, for instance, or even the original Who Wants Pancakes moment, if I had to guess. Maybe she would have written Gunn differently. She would have written it organically that he didn't need superpowered brain.
She didn't really write for Angel. She wrote for Buffy.
Oh, that's sad. She really done a lot of good work here. Maybe that's why a lot of things aren't going right as of late. She could come in and clean things up as I feel she has in the past.
She's fine. I mean, she's not doing great on Once Upon a Time, but it's okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's fair. That's completely fair. But just the last thing about this, I guess, is the fact that, like, we've seen Gunn struggle with the fact that he doesn't think he's as smart as Wesley, for instance. And then he goes and does this. And I don't feel like this is character progression. You know, somebody realizing, no, I am smart. I have, you know, becoming confident about the person that he is. And it's just like going and fixing this problem that doesn't even exist to begin with. And that just, it really kills me.
Yep.
Yeah, I have some feelings as well. Like, I think we're all on the same boat that the pancakes in general and the writers have kind of made Gunn, the character, feel like he's nothing but the muscle.
Mm-hmm.
And that it would have been a lot more interesting to see him not conform and make the others, like, see him as this typically smart as they like to see smart people, but more like see himself as good enough.
Yeah.
Instead of this storyline. But I also, this mother may I comment when Wes is like, you didn't think to ask us? Like, bitch, does he need your permission?
For real.
Like, stay out of his fucking business.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
yeah, like, is it like that Wesley feels he has some kind of ownership over Gunn for having, quote-unquote, won his women or stolen her?
Himself?
Like, I don't know what Wesley thinks he owns over Gunn, but it's kind of gross.
Like, where do you get off making yourself smart?
Yeah, seriously, like, how dare you? Like, I won. Okay, like,
you're not allowed to win
any other way.
That's what I had going for me.
Now who am I?
That's why Fred loves me. Now she's going to love you again. Maybe she loves Angel. We don't know.
She just gets passed around, so.
I'm just mad. So
might as well. God.
Well, another fun fact. This is actually pretty cool. Apparently, J. August Richards also starred 3 years later in a Law & Order spinoff titled Conviction, which is also the title of this episode.
Oh, so, how weird.
I thought that was kind of cool.
I hope he got to wear lots of suits.
He does look good in a suit. Like, I'm, you know, whatever, Joss Whedon, but, like, he's right there. That man does look good in a suit.
He is a very, very handsome man.
Mm-hmm. J. August Richards, you can see him on Kevin Probably Saves the World.
You can.
On Tuesday nights.
Now, if you're listening, you're very handsome.
Yes.
Oh, also, he's going to I was very tempted. I'm not going, but he's going to be at the Washington, D.C. Comic-Con with Charisma Carpenter. How cute is that reunion?
Oh,
wow. I'm almost surprised she still attends anything related to anything sci-fi.
She goes to a lot of conventions, I feel like.
Wow.
She knows the people loves her.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah. I would have probably just distanced myself as much as I could from everything going on here. Good for
her. I think that's great, though. Yeah, you know, she knows that, you're right, she knows the fans love her, and I think the ability to move past what happened is a bigger FU than, like,
yeah,
walling herself off from that, so.
Yeah, I mean, honestly.
After she left, the show got canceled, so. Mm-hmm.
That is true. And it's funny too, because I see like a lot of like GIF reactions to like random things online that's like, Cordelia is not pleased with your resilience or something. Just like if her rolling her eyes or something. And I'm like, oh, people really just love her because she's that fabulous, not because she actually gets to stay in the show the whole time and have a final arc or anything. Just because she's that great. And I can appreciate that in a way.
Yeah. Okay, so the end of the episode, obviously, big shocker, Spike comes back. I know on the last episode, they were like, I don't know if he's going to come back early or later. I kind of hope he doesn't come back right away kind of thing. But, you know, sorry, I think it was Brittany. He comes back right away. So we'll discuss more about Spike and his role when we discuss the next episode. But the big thing is, you know, who mailed the amulet back to Angel? Sunnydale was destroyed, the amulet was on Spike, and he was destroyed and buried under all that rubble. So how do you think that came about?
Who do you think it was, Mitch?
My first thought was Giles, but then I'm really leaning toward Buffy, because it seems like it would be a good love triangle element for her to have done it.
I wanted you to say Rat Amy.
Oh. I was waiting for that.
I should have seen the setup. I'm sorry. Yes, it was Rat Amy. She did it with her magic powers. She didn't have to go down into the rubble. She was just standing above the rubble with everyone else, like, pathetic. And then she was like, I'll still save the world again.
Also, can I just interrupt this really quick and say that I drew a picture of Rat Amy, and yeah, I sent it to our friend Laura because she deserved it. She was the one that got that 5-star prize. It's the only prize I've ever actually done for anybody. And I copied it and I sent it to Mitch as well.
It is so lovely. I'm going to frame it.
Did we retweet it? Because I want to see that.
I don't know if we did or not.
It's a really good drawing, actually.
Not a bad drawing of a rat. I'm just saying. Like, I was weird. And I was supposed to draw her transforming, or like the rat transforming into her. I cannot draw people. Nobody deserves to see that. So all you get is the rat.
Stick people's fine.
I was really proud. And
you should have just drawn her in a stick, like, fetal position on the bed with that happy face when Willow's like, first.
That's what I was trying to do. And then there were just a lot of angles and naked parts. And I just, you know, I was like, no, we're not doing this to anybody. So
that's funny.
Yeah.
Draw naked ladies.
You use my Twitter as a reference because I have so many screenshots of just Rat Amy.
But yeah, we'll have to retweet that because it was ridiculous, but I'm happy to have finally given out a reward. It's probably the only one I'm ever going to do.
Thank you for giving me that reward as well.
You're very welcome. I had to. I used Danielle Wine Pizza to get his new address.
I know. Because Danielle's like, I don't know your address. And I was like, and I smelt something, and then Karen sent me, and I was like, Karen.
Teamwork. Okay. I guess last comment here is, if Xander was the stand-in for Joss on Buffy, did Joss make Wes his avatar on Angel?
Mm. No.
I think we like Wes still. At least sometimes.
Wesley has done such stupid things and he's like a terrible person, but I still love him. I feel like deep down he wants to be good.
He does. But Joss won't let him.
Adriana, I'm still reeling from the fact that you revealed that Xander dates Dawn in the comics. because now that makes it even
Isn't
more
that
gross.
Gross?
Because now it's we know that Joss gross. Wants to be Xander, so he wants to date like a 16-year-old. Oh, it gets even worse.
All right, we are not talking about that right now. I just cannot handle it after all
it
my other
last.
Anger.
It doesn't last.
Oh, still. Thanks. Can you just let me know what happens? I'm not reading these comics.
Literally, that's the only thing I know about the comics. That and something about Buffy.
Well, literally just knowing that, I was like, okay, I don't need to read the comics. Thanks for, you know.
Okay, so we've got some international titles for this episode as well. Mai, would you like to share those with us?
The French is Conviction.
On point.
Yeah, and the German one is Goodbye, California.
I kind of like that one. I don't know how much sense it makes since they're still there.
In California.
But yeah. It's kind of, I don't know.
It would have fooled me if that was like the next episode's title.
Yeah. Oh my god, they're leaving, guys.
No, it would have been that California is going to split off from the continental U.S.
I don't really get that one.
Well, it's for the Goodbye California in terms of the biological warfare, I guess. Bomb kid.
Oh, okay.
You're a smart one.
That does make updated. More sense.
You know, I'm not as smart as Gunn was before the brain transformation, so.
Oh, that's going to be a running theme, isn't it? Okay, favorite scenes now, speaking of Gunn, mine is his professional and polite absolute shutdown of the case in that courtroom because he was so smooth and I really enjoyed it, even though I was still mad.
I loved his little tie pin thing.
Ugh, he was just perfect.
And everything else.
They're all losers out of jail, so I'm kind of upset.
And then everyone was mad at him. They were like, how could you do this? And he was like, your option was to kill people. Like,
yeah. So.
You're welcome.
Yeah. No.
Don't get me started.
Gonna be stuck in my head. okay, Mai, what's your favorite scene?
Angel and the cars.
Oh, God, yeah.
He's such a goof.
He's such a little boy sometimes. But I like that about him. Like, I miss that.
Yeah.
And Ariana, yours will be no surprise to anybody.
Mine was Harmony, because she's the only thing that didn't make me angry.
Mm-hmm. Completely fair. And Mitch.
Mine was when Cordy was in the opening credits. Oh, wait. I actually didn't know she wasn't going to be in this season at all. So I think
really?
That was my
first sign.
Really?
Do you not listen to your own podcast, Mitch?
I do. No, I was catching up. I was. I just listened to because they come out too quick sometimes. I try. Regardless, no, I didn't listen to your rant yet, Ariana, and I'm really excited about it. But I figured she'd come back. Like, she's always been in the credits, and then they're like, oh, she's just sleeping. I was like, fine, if that's how we have to have her. But then she wasn't even in the credits this time, and they didn't have, like, any shots with her in it anymore. Like, they had to shoot, like, a new, like, group scene. And sure, they look great walking on Wolf from Heart and all, like, their sexy lawyer clothes, whatever. But Charisma Carpenter's not in it, so I don't care.
They want you to forget she ever existed. She ever mattered.
Honestly.
Just like Connor.
Yes.
While we're on the opening credits thing, how dumb was it to have Spike in them?
Yes!
Like, it is
like very
unfortunate.
Blatantly.
Like, yeah.
Way to spoil the surprise, you dumbass.
I mean, I feel like he doesn't fit in the show. We can talk about that later.
Yeah. And Joss has been really smart with opening credits before, like season one of Buffy and all of that. And like, I just feel like
Tara. Oh, I'm still over that. I'm still not over that.
It's just a lot of anger this episode.
That's when Lorne got in the credits. I didn't trust it because I was like, he's going to die now.
Okay. Favorite lines before we move on to the next one. Mine is actually between Angel and Eve, surprisingly. And he's just says to her, you like to make an entrance. And she replies, you always open both doors when you enter a room. And I'm just like, okay, though, that was a good shot. That was a good shot at Angel.
And yes, he does.
Yes, he does.
Oh my gosh. He's such a trauma queen.
He is. Oh my god. And my yours?
Blondie Bear?
I love that she wasn't even in the room. She just pokes her head in. It's like, what?
That was a really cute moment of like, oh, we actually paid attention to how we wrote harmony. That's the kind of stuff I mean with like, she was written consistently.
Yeah. And Ariana?
Mine was this point where I actually laughed out loud, thanks to Fred. And it's when she's yelling at the people in her science lab to come up with a cure to save the world. And she's like, when blood starts streaming out of noses, eye sockets, and fingernails, I'll have the intense satisfaction of knowing that I'm dying with the only people in the world who actually deserve it.
I was a bit shocked that she got that dark.
Yeah. She's got a bit of fire in her, and I wish we saw it more often.
Yeah.
Because ever since she got bitten by that little leprechaun, she was like, all right, that's it, bitches. Gloves are coming off.
Wait, what leprechaun?
There was a little man that was like eating hands, and she was like, not about it. So she killed him.
Oh, that's right.
She's been really rough and tough ever since. It's been great.
He wasn't a man. He was a demon.
Yeah, a little leprechaun. Leprechaun. Short man.
All right. The movie.
Don't drag leprechauns into this.
And Mitch, your favorite line?
Mine's also Fred, because I assume that she's going to be one of my favorite characters this season, seeing as she's the only woman in the main credits, which, yes, makes me very happy and sad at the same time. Whatever. What? She goes, what? Because we're crusaders against evil, and now the law firm that represents most of the evil in the world has given us its LA branch to run however we want, probably in an attempt to corrupt, divide, and destroy us. And, well, and we all said yes in like 3 minutes. Whoa, God, I can't even get through that. Okay, that's saying something.
Your run-on sentences are getting better. Thanks. That was a little condescending.
That's like the entirety of Angel and Buffy, though. Like, it's condescending against the woman. Yeah. And, like, Fred knows it. Fred gets it.
I'm glad that line was in there, that they called it out.
They're like, we know we're horrible.
Especially against Wesley, because I feel like he sees her as an object more so than, you know, like Gunn does, so.
Well, it gives me hope that she won't go like for him project now, which makes me happy.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Ma, you're right. That's exactly how he sees her, as a project.
Ugh. Anyway, okay. Let's get angry about some other things now. We're going to jump into Angel episode 502, Just Rewards. In this episode, Spike is back, and Angel is perturbed to have to share the limelight. He really is, though. Like, he is so mad about it.
He's such a little bitch in this episode.
Drama queen. This episode was written by David Fury and Ben Edlund and directed by James A. Cotner. So Joss, while probably still involved, obviously, did not have direct effect. So Ariana, did you like this episode better than the last one or worse?
I mean, I was like on Twitter while watching it on a separate screen, so that should tell you.
So pretty much equal to the last one. Okay, so surprise, surprise, Spike is back. We all knew this was coming. Thanks, Netflix, for ruining that. But at least the circumstances hopefully weren't too clear to the newbies. But okay, Mitch. How do you feel about Spike being back? Because, Ariana, you said he feels very out of place on this show, and I'm just wondering if, Mitch, you feel the same way.
He does, and it feels wonderful.
Really? Okay.
I didn't yet realize how much I shipped Spangle, either or, until I watched this episode, because it brought me back to, like, when Spike's in the wheelchair, like that gif I tweeted, like, and then Angel kisses him on the forehead. They have an extreme sexual tension, and it's almost uncomfortable at times, because this whole episode, I was really just like, oh my God, please just kiss, but he can't because he's a ghost. But you kind of forget that, because they get really like sexy toward each other. Like, he's showing up and like Angel's naked in his bedroom, and they have like a long shot of Angel being like half naked, and then they show him getting into bed all like in his satin sheets, and then Spike shows up, and I was like, oh my God, this should be illegal. This is not fair. So total different viewing experience. Honestly, it kind of erased all of my anger of Cordelia not being in the episode for the fact that I was shipping these two so damn hard.
You wouldn't be you if there wasn't some major shipping going on. So right. I actually really appreciate that. I do.
I think you like it.
Oh, you didn't even know. No, this is like so intriguing to me because it's so canon because it's always about that one time. And I'm like, it's a bit queer baiting, which is a bit frustrating, but I'm like, I don't even care. They're so it doesn't even matter to me. Like Buffy wants to see them in oil. I want to see them in oil. God. We're all good to go.
I actually did think at some point this episode, I was like, I feel like all of this would have be solved if they could just have a threesome. Like,
right? Jeez.
I keep saying more threesomes, less triangles.
Yes.
Like on Team Wolf back in the day, we used to say it all the time.
Oh, God, we did say that a lot for like every character.
All aboard the SS Virgin.
All of them, yes. Mai, how do you feel about Spike, not only Spike coming over to Angel and his presence on Angel, but the fact that like Spike's story isn't over even after he was basically killed off of Buffy?
Well, that's a question. I don't know. I kind of felt like it was over, so I don't know.
It's kind of complicated because Spike's death on Buffy was his moment. Yeah, like it was sad and I remember being really upset about it, but his hero moment and he literally saved the day. And I think that vindication, especially for Buffy with Giles, like that was worth everything because he was a good guy at the end of the day and now he's back. And I love Spike, don't get me wrong. Like I'm very excited that he's here and I'm very excited to, you know, see how he reacts to everything and how he interacts with all these different new characters and characters he's already met and stuff. But it's, I'm trying to think of the right like analogy.
It's like when J.K. Rowling keeps tweeting when you want her to stop.
I love you so much, Mom.
Oh my God.
I'm crying.
Like, it was good. The ending was good, except the epilogue. You know, it's the epilogue.
Yeah.
I really feel like it's more like the cursed child.
Yeah, it's even worse than the tweets. Oh, it's the fan fiction come to real life.
That makes me sad because I want this to be good and I want you guys to like him on this show, but I kind of get the cursed child thing because it's
and I
like,
say that lovingly because I do love Spike and I do enjoy this season, but I did feel like it was a good proper ending for him.
Right, yeah.
There's no need to dig up the horse and flog him again.
Well, I guess that now Angel, Buffy, and Spike all have that in common. They come back when they didn't want to.
Oh, God.
Threesome element there, right? Like,
yeah.
I'm going to get my own review on iTunes now.
Let them stay dead. We won't even have a show anymore. How dare you?
Speaking of we Buffy, though. Buffy's in Europe now. So what do you guys think she's doing there? Is she slaying or is she slaying?
Yes.
I mean, and with I feel who? Like she's in a well-earned vacation. That's what I hope for her because she deserves it. There's so many other slayers now. You know what? Faith got to take a few years off after being evil.
In a penitentiary, it's fine.
Exactly.
A few years off. Home and then jail.
That's a great vacation.
It was like restful, just... I'm sure.
She did get a lot of sleep.
I don't know how happy Buffy is right now. She's probably like digging around the blown up Watchers Council with Giles, like, oh, there's another one of your dead friends. Like that's where I see the story going in the comics next. Like, we have to find the papers, Buffy. We have to find the next thing to do. But then again, Buffy did have a really coy smile on when Dawn was like, so what's next? So who only knows? Maybe she was just like, I'm going to eat a lot of chocolate. Because remember Buffy, that chocolate poster in her dorm room? She's obsessed with chocolate. So am I. So that's what I would do if I had a nice vacation in Europe.
They do have good chocolate over there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do.
Now, of course, Spike's return means that him and Angel are going to be butting heads. This should be no surprise. They're kind of fighting over Buffy. They're definitely fighting over the fact that Spike also has a soul, which Angel didn't want to admit to anyone because it's his thing. I feel like this could have been funny, but it came off as Angel being a little whinier than I wanted him to be. And, of course, like, Spike doesn't really know what the hell's going on with him, so he's just kind of lashing out and all of that. But I feel like their dynamic is still trying to find its footing, which is weird and unfortunate considering they've been on screen before. But I guess that was mostly Angelus, and he has chemistry with,
I think, know, it's because they're so everything. In love.
And also, Spike has grown so much since then. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like before it worked because you thought Spike was the alpha, and then, like, the twist was that, no, not at all.
No,
that
yeah.
He was Angelus's little bitch.
And that's a sub.
Why I feel like he doesn't work on this show, because now I feel like he is an alpha. Like, he is going to stick up for himself. And the way that Angel of the show works is I think that you can't have two alphas long term. Like, Angel has to be the main leader. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the show doesn't work. Which is why, like, last season when Faith came on, like, I love Faith, and I like that she came on, like, I love her guest star roles. But I also don't feel like she could be on the show full time, because then it becomes the Angel and Faith show, mm-hmm. not the Angel show.
But Wes is still barking out orders.
No, but it's not the Angel Wes show. Like, it's still the Angel show.
Yeah.
It's kind of why Connor was so annoying, because Connor was just like that moody, angsty version of Angel, like, in a really bad way that was like, I'm super powered, I can do anything I want.
Like once you bring someone as big as Spike over from Buffy, especially with Buffy being over, it stops being Angel's show. Like, now it has to be the buddy comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
And I think the difference with Wes, because he is still barking out orders, like, he doesn't have a problem deferring to Angel when he needs to. Whereas somebody like Faith or somebody like Spike, like, they're gonna butt heads eventually.
But why does Spike want to become a person? It seems like he kind of has a change here. I don't know if that's jumping too far ahead, but
would you want to be a ghost?
Well, I'm talking in terms of, like, this alpha role. Like, do you think he's doing that because he wants to become more alpha over Angel, or because
I think he's doing
he wants
that
to become submissive?
Angel, because he kissed his girlfriend, like, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe it's just all for Buffy. Or Angel, or both.
I think that's all it is for both of them. They're both pissed off about Buffy, which is what's so annoying about this. Mm-hmm. Is that they have hundreds of years of history together. I feel like if they are going to bring Spike on, then at least make it about that. Don't make it about, like, your ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
When what makes Buffy, is it the fact that she's a slayer and they both fell in love with her and they have souls and they're vampires? Like, are those the specific elements that make it so special that she's their ex? Because it feels like none of them really dated her for very long enough, like, in their long lifespans to really justify. Like, no one was really that upset over Drusilla and Darla. They were kind of just ready to let them go.
No, I guess it was. But jokes aside, Buffy's influence on both of them was huge. I mean, she changed their lives and changed their outlook on life in an extremely profound way. And whether or not, like, you like her influence on them, like, that is something that has happened to both of them. And they've both stated it in various ways. And I think you can't get past that very easily, and especially for Spike, who has a very obsessive personality, like, his first thought is always going to go to Buffy. And while Angel still clearly loves Buffy and, you know, wants to be with her, like, he's willing to give her, yeah, like he's willing to give her some space, and he's got a lot of other things going on at the moment. And when Cordelia was around, like, he obviously had very strong feelings for her as well. So at least on Spike's end, like, right now, what else does he have, unfortunately?
I don't want to be like, my vampire is better, but at least Spike got to know Buffy before her influence changed him. I mean, Angel just spied on her.
That's kind of true. That's kind of true.
I mean, yeah. I definitely think
and she was 15.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about the soul thing too, because I actually think this is very important. And even though Angel was being a whiny little bitch, he kind of had a point when he said, I got my soul back. It was literally torture. I've spent my entire existence after the fact feeling extreme remorse for everything that I've done. And it still haunts me to this day. And I still have to worry about getting too happy and forgetting all the pain I've ever caused and then turning into this other monster. Whereas Spike got his soul, it messed him up for a little bit, and then he was fine. And even though I love Spike, I think this is an extremely valid point on Angel's behalf.
I disagree.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, because I don't want to say that he's over it. I don't think that. Okay. And also, Angel got his soul because of a curse. So wouldn't that imply that he was supposed to feel worse because of it?
That's fair. Yeah, because Spike went out and chose to get his.
Yeah.
So in that case, you could argue that Spike was better to begin with because he chose it. But I agree, Karen. There is something that has bothered me. Like, I know everybody was like on Spike's side when he had the whole thing with Principal Wood. And like, what Principal Wood did was arguably pretty shitty. But it really bothered me that Spike was not that bothered. Like, I get the whole thing when he's like, you know, she was the slayer, I was the vampire, we played our part, I'm over it. I understand that. But then he stole the jacket back, and I was like, bitch, give him his mom's jacket. You killed her. You need to feel a little worse than you feel right now.
Yeah, but he just tried to kill him.
Yeah, but that was a revenge kill.
Yeah.
He killed his mom. So, I don't know. I think I also love Spike, but I do feel like he needs to feel a little worse sometimes.
Or maybe he's just bad at expressing how bad he feels.
Yeah, that too. But also, this whole thing bothers me on a different level, because this show is very intent on telling us that a demon inhabits the body, the person you know is gone, blah, blah, blah. And then Angel gets his soul back, and Angelus was a different person. And then Spike gets his soul back, and he's still the same person. And then what the hell is going on? So Angel is forgiven by people because what he did as Angelus wasn't him, and Spike is supposed to feel bad because what he did as unsold Spike is still him.
And no, then okay.
Angel feels guilt because it was him or it wasn't him.
Okay, I want to clarify that I don't condone, like I'm not mad at Spike.
That's a show failing.
As a vampire, like as a soulless vampire, like those things to me, like he was fun for a tumble, but like there's nothing, like I don't count those against him. What bothers me is now that he has a soul, that he took that jacket as like a trophy, like as something he earned, and like that's something your demon earned. You're not supposed to like what your demon did. The demon's bad. Yeah, that's the point.
I think the difference is always going to be that he chose it, though, that he chose his soul. So he knew what he was doing, as opposed to Angel, who didn't expect all of the pain and misery from when the gypsies did it to him. I think that's always going to be the distinction between, yeah, I was able to get over it quicker because I anticipated it and I knew that I needed to push through it for my love for Buffy. And you just did it because you were tired of eating rats. I don't know. Like, why did Angel get out of it? Maybe because he liked stalking a 15-year-old. That was pretty fun for him.
I think one of the things that's so endearing isn't the right word. One of the reasons why I like Spike so much is because he's always gonna kind of be that bad boy who's going to try to do the right thing. And I think in the beginning, like, they kind of wanted Angel to be that way because he was a vampire and he was broody and he was dark. But, like, clearly we've learned that he's just a goofball, so he can't really pull that off.
Really honed his brooding skills.
Yes.
I don't even think he likes being the bad boy, like, Angel.
Yeah, so even though, like, Ariana, I completely understand where you're coming from with the whole jacket thing, but, like, I still think that's just kind of Spike. Like, he's kind of unapologetic about some of the things that he's done, and maybe that's a character flaw. Like, that's not necessarily a good thing, but I think it definitely is still within character, even with him having a soul. And Mai, you were talking about the failing of the show and everything. And while I completely agree, because it's weird how they've differentiated these two characters who essentially both were soulless vampires and now have souls, Spike has been a bit of a conundrum from the very beginning because his personality was so strong. He was able to truly love Drusilla and then eventually Buffy.
And his mom.
Yeah, even when he didn't have a soul. So his progression, while these two characters were basically on the same path, their progression was different because of the type of person they were. And I think it's complicated and it's probably a don't question the science too much kind of thing, but
yeah,
it's interesting to think about it.
I gotta get this off my chest because it's been bothering me for years, but if the concept is that a demon inhabits your body, why is Angel supposed to feel guilty for the things that a demon did as if he did them?
That's true. I guess it would be like Cordelia feeling guilty for the stuff Jasmine did.
Mm-hmm.
As her.
Exactly.
I mean, if it wears your face, you know, there's some...
I get that you remember the things that was done, but it wasn't you.
Mm-hmm. I understand that, but I think as humans, we're not typically designed that way. Because it was still our body that did those things. And if you didn't feel guilt, like, that would be some epic compartmentalization. Yes. And I don't know that anybody's truly capable of that.
But would you eat rats for 100 years?
Yeah, probably not. Probably not. I mean, but he is a drama queen. We have already established this, like, 100 times. So, but that's a really good point and definitely something.
And on that note, do you feel bad for the demon who got stuck with, get stuck is the wrong word, but with Harmony?
I was just going to bring up Harmony, actually, because in a way, like, she's very similar to Spike. Soulless vampire, strong personality, definitely has feelings for Spike, and is also kind of trying to do the right thing. Ariana,
yeah,
I know you...
She's an interesting case. I just forget that she's evil very often until she says lines like, oh, I miss Cordelia anyways. And that stuff kind of, like, it brings you back in a good way. As much as I hate the fact that we're forgetting about Cordelia, yes.
She's even more interesting than Spike, though, in that we've seen her actively try to be good. And I know part of it is supposed to be that because she's, like, so dumb, she'll... go wherever the wind takes her. But like, remember when she came back to go find Cordelia and she was like, I'm trying not to eat people. Like, she was trying to be a good person, and she, like, wanted to help fight evil. That's so bizarre. No other vampire would do that, mm-hmm. that we've seen.
Mm-hmm. And Cordelia trusted her, too. Like, they were just painting nails and having a good time. I believed in it.
Yeah. I mean, didn't Harmy end up, like, double-crossing her, though?
Human Harmony would do that as well.
That's true. That's very true.
So, like, that wasn't because she was vampire. That's because she was Harmony.
Yeah. Mitch, question for you as our resident shipper. Do you kind of hope Harmony and Spike will become a thing again?
No, because then that brings Spangel out of the equation. I need that to happen first before anything else.
What about a threesome?
No, that's not, because I don't like Angel and Harmony together. I don't find them endearing or good. Spike and Harmony was abusive and horrible, because it was always like him trying to pretend that she was Buffy, which is very uncomfortable. Yeah, I'm very happy with my ships as they are. Let's keep Spangel. because if I can't have dumpster love, I have to have some other kind of fiery dumpster thing going on. So let's keep it to two souled vampires.
And do you guys think that Harmony's presence on the show, while I know we talked about, you know, a replacement for Cordelia and stuff like that, but do you also think her presence on the show is basically for the interaction and the history that's between Harmony and Spike, or do you think she'll be able to bring other things to the table? Do you trust that the show will allow her to bring other things to the table?
I don't think she's there for Spike at all, honestly. I would be very surprised if they started up their romance. I feel like she's mostly there as the comedic relief to replace Cordelia.
And not necessarily as a romantic thing, but just like the history and the back and forth.
As like the Sunnydale reminder of the ditzy girl. At this point, I feel like they haven't fully thought out how to incorporate Spike, because I don't feel like they're doing the best job of it. So I guess we'll see. Hopefully I'll be proven wrong, and I'll love this season and be like, it's the best one!
I love her hair and her fashions.
Someone remind me to like slap myself if I say that, because
we'll just have you rewatch these episodes and you'll be reminded. But the big point of this episode is that Spike and Angel end up teaming up to take down this necromancer. And we think that Spike is double-crossing Angel, but in reality, they actually team up, and it's like a whole triple-cross thing. Were you guys at all worried that Spike was maybe, like, back on his evil thing? Or maybe not evil, but, like, just being selfish enough to, and hateful enough of Angel to double-cross him and get what he wanted? Or did you know that it was going to turn out fine?
I was worried that they were going to completely reverse his character of what had been built up over like several seasons on Buffy. But I was like, if he's true to character, then this is all like a weird double cross on like team up with Angel. But if they're going to throw it all away, then I guess he's pulling out yet, even though he has a soul.
But they didn't, and Spike did end up helping Angel, so that's pretty awesome.
I have a
quote
to read here.
Okay.
I was speaking to Natalie about this episode, and at this point, when I was watching it, I said, and she wants me to read this online, now I want them to explicit over the necromancer's decapitated head, because I got really excited during this scene for some reason. I think it was something about Angel's midriff. There was a lot going on here. I found it to be very enticing and homoerotic, and I liked it. So let's continue this trend, please.
I'm so, like, this was not the conversation I was expecting. I'm so confused right now. What are we talking about?
So the necromancer gets his head chopped off. Uh-huh. Angel's wearing his like sexy shirt because he didn't double cross him. And they're like looking at each other like, yeah, you didn't double cross me. And I was like, now kiss.
Oh. Okay.
Okay.
Sure. Yay. So it really took me, like, I thought we were talking
about... Sorry, I was trying to get it before you moved on from the necromancer part, but...
I know.
That is completely fair and valid. I love how much you ship them. Hopefully, one day, all your dreams will be fulfilled.
I was still in the cemetery, so I was... Yeah, okay.
No, I mean, either way.
You have been right about much weirder things, so...
Yes. That is true.
I guess it feels right.
Right. Okay. So Spike. Yes.
Circle of Death.
Spike did not double cross Angel, which was all fun. He goes back afterwards after they've taken care of everything and he talks to Fred. And we find out that Spike was actually like in hell and he's slipping back. That's where he's going to be going. And for me, like, this is so sad because he was the hero on Buffy, and to find out that, like, he's going to be tortured for all eternity, while kind of understandable, is still...
Is it, though?
I mean,
it's
he's...
It's also, again, not fair, because if a demon is taking over your body, then...
Why does the soul go there?
Exactly. Like, your soul isn't there. Your soul should have already been done when you were the nice poet man.
Who loves his mom.
Yeah.
Hmm. That's true.
Because it's not like your body goes to hell. Like, in their version,
right?
It's the soul.
Right.
And his soul was already gone.
Stupid
and he's
show
done
science.
Plenty of heroic things with a soul. But I don't know. It's something to think about, especially as it applies to Angel. Does that mean Angel's not headed for the good place?
Well, Angel has a lot of friends in the bad place, so it's not that bad.
I mean, Liam wouldn't be.
Yeah, Liam was
He
not
was
so
no
great.
Poet, man.
That is true. That is very true.
Didn't Angel himself go to hell because he became Angel as Buffy stabbed him because Willow then gave him the soul?
He was sent to a hell dimension.
Yeah.
That is splitting hairs, but I think there is a difference.
Yeah, that wasn't dying hell dimension. That was opening vortex
portal
hell
dimension. Yeah.
You know, it was really unclear.
It was really
it
unclear.
It really wasn't.
It's an Avatar The Last Airbender quote, Mike. If you didn't know what I was talking about, it was more of a joke rather than a thing.
All right, so that basically wraps up this discussion. We're just going to have to see what happens with Spike. Ariana, I hope that you start to like his presence on the show. Mitch, I hope you get the Spangel kiss you want so badly. Nice. Mai and I will just be sitting over here laughing evilly because we know what's coming.
Oh no.
Hashtag no comment.
Yep. Oh,
is it like Spangel or Rat Amy? Because either way, I'm very happy.
No comment, but there's some stuff. Just
what?
Saying.
What? Oh my god.
Gotta get you excited for this season.
I am. I'm very
excited. Alright, Mai, what are international titles for this one?
The French is Just Rewards. And the German is The Deep Abyss.
You know, the French
are not making sense.
But I think it does. Spike going to the Deep Abyss.
Okay.
That's how I took it anyway. The French are very, like, on the nose with the English ones, and the Germans are like, let's come up with the best possible way to describe this episode. I like it.
It's more the process between them deciding, like, oh, so that's the English title, let's make it more dramatic.
The deepest. Yeah. All right, we're going to jump into our favorite scenes now, and mine is, of course, when Spike really does the right thing, despite the fact that he doesn't want to die. It's just, you know, that good old soul kicking in, and I appreciate it.
I'm sure he also didn't want to be stuck in Angel's body forever.
It's not a bad body.
God, that's true. But can you imagine? He would hate that.
Also, can we talk about the see-through shirt?
Yes, yes.
The see-through shirt?
And when he took off the shirt.
I mean,
you guys were paying way more close attention.
Look at your choices. What is your wardrobe? What happened to the broody sweatshirt?
Clearly, I was not paying attention to the right things because I don't remember this at all.
Angel was always like in the season so far. He's had his shirt like unbuttoned, like four buttons down.
I'm just so distracted by his hair. It's so bad.
He looks very different.
Yeah.
Both in both wardrobe and in hair.
I miss the tall spikiness.
Yeah. And it almost kind of comes back in some scenes. Then it goes back to being like pushed over. And I'm like, no.
It's not good. Anyway, Mai, what's your favorite scene?
The lab scene where it comes out that Angel didn't tell any of the pancakes what actually happened in Sunnydale about Spike, you know, saving the world and,
having
a soul and being a good guy now.
They're all very confused.
Well, she did tell Angel. I mean, she probably told Angel that he saved the world too, and Angel was like, ugh.
Whatever.
I mean, he helped.
Yes. He did deliver that amulet. And Ariana, I love your favorite scene.
Mm-hmm.
Mine was when Spike appeared, and I would have been worried this whole episode when he was being so weird. And been like, oh, he's a pod person too. But when he appears, literally the first thing he's like, where's Buffy? It's like, oh, it's Spike.
Not a pod person.
To go to her.
Yeah.
Oh, Spike. Can someone just like Skype her in? Like, do they have Skype at this point?
Conference call.
Yeah.
It's as close to a threesome as they'll get. Mitch. I think your favorite scene what you were talking about before when I got so confused.
Okay. Yes. It's when the necromancer is decapitated and Spike is just standing there and he's just like, oh yeah. And then Angel's like, oh, that was you. And they both kind of make eyes at each other and they're like, so you didn't betray me. And they're like, yeah, the plan worked. And I was like, oh, that's it.
I'm excited for your excitement.
I want to give a shout out to the scene where they're fake destroying the amulet, and Spike goes, you being my grandsire and all.
Oh, yeah. I had to think about it for a second because I always have to do the math whenever they mention that business.
It was a hashtag moment. They almost felt like friends.
Almost. All right, favorite lines now. Mine is Spike to Fred. And it's when he says, I know what's down there, where it's trying to take me, and it's not the place heroes go, not by a bloody long shot. It's the other one, full of fire and torment, and it's happening, and I'm terrified. Help me. And I just, like, Spike has such trouble being vulnerable, and especially to this person he doesn't even know. He's that terrified about what's happening to him, and I like seeing that side of him as much as I love seeing his sassy side. But speaking of sassy, Mai, yours lines up with that very well.
I have two from Spike. The first is when Angel is in a meeting and he goes, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't care. And the second is when they arrive at the Hainsley's place and he goes, I missed date.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I had a feeling you would like that, Mitch.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And Ariana, what's your favorite line?
Mine is when Spike tells Angel, and here you've even managed to get my ex Tumble, the littlest vampire, fetching coffee for you. Nice perks for that sellout.
Calling him on his BS. And Mitch, your favorite line?
Mine is Harmony acting just like I would towards Spike, saying, just since you're all soulful now, I thought maybe, just maybe, you might have learned to open up a little, you know, talk, but I guess the leopard can't change its stripes, because I always mess up and nail on the head. Caitlin was very upset about it, and leopard can't change his stripes is something that I've definitely said before.
Aww.
Preaching from the horse's mouth.
I do like that one a lot, actually. Okay. Well, that wraps that up. And again, if you would like to get into contact with us, you can email us at rewatchable.podcast@gmail.com. Hit us up on Twitter at re_watchable. Find us on this post on hypeable.com or visit rewatchablepodcast.tumblr.com. And as always, we love iTunes reviews. Brittany has been doing 5-star Fridays, which is really nice to be able to share the lovely feedback people send to us. And if you would also like to leave us a 5-star review, then I will manage your daily calendar like a good little vampire. That was supposed to be a secret, guys.
And you'll warn us in advance if an evil-looking demon is coming by that we're not supposed to kill them.
Right, right. Yeah, I will do better than Harmony.
I've seen your Instagram, so it's not a secret.
Thanks. All right, let's jump into listener feedback to wrap this up. And Ariana, why don't you take this first one?
So this one is from Cassandra at Palliard, and she says, so when are you watching the Buffy movie, winky face? Lol. I suppose you're all too burnt out. Did I think you said you'd do it at the end?
Did we say we'd do it at the end?
I don't know. We're not doing it.
I've never seen the movie. Honestly, I might go back and watch it.
I've it seen it.
It can be volunteer for those who want to watch it.
It should be our commentary. We could do like a DVD.
Oh, God. We've only done one commentary, and I feel like it did not go over well.
That's because you cared about what you were watching.
That's true.
That won't be true of this one.
Everyone, listeners, write in. Tell us, do you want us to watch the Buffy movie? Do you want us to do a commentary or an episode or a section on it?
Should we be serious about it?
Yeah, should we be serious about it, or should we just rip it to shreds?
Remember when we did the Avatar movie and then we didn't finish it, most of us, because it was so bad?
Remember when I liked that movie before I saw the show, and then I watched the show and I was like, what is this madness?
It's so bad.
Soka.
Oh, God. Oh, I can't. I literally... I can't.
Like Super Soka?
No.
That was supposed to be.
God. Okay. And then next tweet. Mitch, why don't you take this one?
Andrea B. at TimeyWimey Daffy says something that I don't remember happening is that moment when Spike takes down the Welcome to Sunnydale sign for the third and final time makes me laugh through my tears back then, and it's still a thing for me. Does he do that?
Well, yeah, he exploded caved in, and then the sign fell, so like technically he took it down again.
It comes down other times?
I know.
Man. His introduction.
He crashes into it with his car when he first comes to Sunnydale, and when he returns to Sunnydale, and when he explodes.
Sunnydale?
Wow. Just the guy with the sign is just really like, again!
Out earlier.
What was that, Ariella?
I feel like this should have been pointed out at some point.
We probably should have. I don't think I put.
I wasn't on that together. Episode.
Well, now you know.
And I'm going to take the last comment because this is actually kind of very close to my heart. But this one is from Hypeable, and Ashley says, you're done with Buffy. Congrats. I'm one of those people who believe that a series finale can make or break a show, and I honestly believe that Buffy's finale elevated the show to a whole new level. I'm happy the newbies liked it. Pause. Ariana cried. I just want to say that that is very important to me, and I'm so glad that you told us that, because I'm never
going to
cry. Okay. Ashley also says, now, I'll admit, I'm not totally up to date on my Angel rewatch with you guys, but I'm jumping back in for season 5. When I think back on watching Angel reruns as a kid, season 5 was the show for me. There are so many defining, memorable moments of the season. I think newbies will find it a rewarding reprieve from the dumpster fire that was before. I feel very similarly. Connor obviously sticks out my brain, but like for a very negative reason. When I think back on Angel, I think back on season 5. Again, whether or not that's a good thing, it might change, to be honest, because a lot of my feelings about Buffy changed and all of that. So I'm interested to rewatch it with you guys. But there are definitely, like she said, some defining, memorable moments in this season.
AKA Spangel Kiss.
Yes, obviously.
That's so bizarre that you think back to this season, because we had 3 seasons in the Hyperion.
Uh-huh. I think of the first one and the 5th.
That's really weird.
You'll just have to find out why.
I would just think back to the good old days of Cordelia and Phantom Dennis and him scrubbing the hard to reach places. And throwing her surprise parties and all the good things and hitting people over the head.
Where is Phantom Dennis? How is he doing?
Oh, he's in mourning.
Rip, hopefully. Like, I hope he's ripping.
Maybe he's watching over her.
Haunting someone else?
No!
But we can't move on.
He would not betray her like that. I got real mad about that. I'm sorry. Okay, let's finish this up with Ariana's answers and Mitch's musings. Next week, we'll be discussing Angel 503 Unleashed and 504 Hellbound.
What's unleashing?
Spangel's love.
Yes, their sexual tension is unleashing. And then they're hellbound because they're lovers going to hell together. They don't even care anymore.
Yeah,
letting the hair loose.
Spike is obviously like losing his form, and so he's being pulled down to hell. And Angel's like, if you're going, I'm going with you, babe.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, just because he's like going to become more human doesn't mean he's like not going to go to hell, right? Like, yeah, you're corporeal, but like you still died. I don't know how these rules are going to work.
I'm sure there'll be some interesting and questionable science to explain it.
I'm sure there'll just be a random monster of the week for 503, actually, for Unleashed. Something that we really don't have to care about. Another necromancer to decapitate.
Mm-hmm. These have been the worst villains because I don't care about them at all. At all.
The necromancer really got me, actually. As much as I said,
I know he got you.
Well, yes, so Spangel, that's what we can expect in these next 2 episodes. I hope that it's everything you guys want and more. But as usual, thank you guys for tuning in and listening to us every week. We really appreciate it. Please send us lots of feedback that we can read. We're closing in. I mean, I know we're still at the beginning of Angel, but the end feels so close now, and I have a lot of emotions about it. So hopefully you guys enjoy this, and until next week, I'm Karen.
I'm Mai.
I'm Ariana.
I'm Mitch.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.